This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 87, and today I am joined by Michelle Fegan of Yampo Solutions. So Yampo is a BPO service provider. She has five sites within the Philippines. Michelle is Australian and she comes from a corporate outsourcing background. So you learn a lot about outsourcing and Michelle and her journey and the Philippines and India in this podcast episode. So a lot to learn, and I certainly had fun and a good time talking to her. So if you want any of the show notes or to get in touch with Michelle, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/87. I'm sure you will enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today I am joined by Michelle Fegan of Yampo Solutions. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Derek.
And so just to give a brief background of Michelle, I'll allow her to introduce herself. She's probably better at that. But Michelle is an Australian sitting down in Cebu with a BPO all of her own, and outsourcing. And, you know, later we're going to have her back to really explore the offerings that she has. But I just want to get a bit of a backstory about Michelle and discuss why she is now finding herself in Cebu owning and running a BPO. So, hi, Michelle. Thanks for joining us. And can you give us a little bit of background about your career that brought you here?
Sure, Derek, would love to. Yes, when I was first sent to the Philippines by my employer, Macquarie Bank in Australia, almost 8 years ago, I never expected to be sitting here with my own business in Cebu. It's been quite a journey for me. Macquarie asked me to come up to Manila to set up the IT engineering function. They already had a small function up here, and they asked me to come up and kick off a function for them for 3 months. And after I arrived and spent a few months here, they asked me to stay on. So my 3 months turned into 3 years, which I enjoyed very much. They then asked me to go over to India to do the same thing. And I spent 12 months in India building up kind of a secondary site to what I had built for Macquarie in Manila. And at the end of 12 months, they said, okay, we want you back in Sydney now. And I said, no, thanks, I'm going back to the Philippines. So I left my job and packed my bags and returned to Manila and pretty much spent almost a year thinking about what I wanted to do next. And that resulted in me starting my own business and relocating to Cebu.
Wow, so I have so many questions in that. But just to provide a bit of context for people out there, Macquarie Bank is an Australian bank. You're Australian. But Macquarie started as kind of a kind of high-end investment boutique bank, but then it grew hugely. Yeah? And they now have a lot of infrastructure here in the Philippines, don't they?
Correct. They're Australia's largest investment bank. And they are global. When I was in both Manila and India, I also ran teams in the UK and New York and Hong Kong, India, Manila, all around the place. It's a truly global business. So looking at outsourcing to a place like the Philippines, such a central location, such great English, 24/7 was a natural decision for them to take.
Wow. And you were sent to the Philippines. What were your initial thoughts and feelings about going to a freaky place like the Philippines? And what year was it actually?
It was 2009. It was August 2009. So I've just had my 8-year anniversary. I knew nothing about the Philippines before I came here. I had been angling for an offshore gig with Macquarie for quite some time, and I did particularly want to come to Asia, but I thought it would be most likely Hong Kong because Macquarie has a very large office in Hong Kong. When we started doing a little bit of outsourcing in Manila about 6 months before I was asked to come up here, I went to my boss and said, look, I really want to be involved in this. I'm really interested, which is what resulted in them asking me to come. And I got on the plane and came here with a couple of suitcases and just loved it from the get-go, just really connected with the people, like the environment. Makati, of course, is such a wonderful, sophisticated and vibrant city. And then, of course, on the weekends, I could get out and visit any one of the 7,107 islands out there. So it was just the first year I spent here was probably the best year of my working life, I think. The most varied job, the most interesting. I learnt so much. It was fantastic.
Did you share any of the apprehensions that most people looking into the Philippines have? Were you concerned about crime? You sound pretty kind of free-spirited, but a lot of people, and you know, I'm on a bit of a mission to tell people that Philippines is a great place, it's safe, there's a lot of great employment opportunities here and obviously labor resources. Did you have any concerns about the Philippines?
No, none whatsoever. I think things get blown out of proportion in the press, and also there are certainly parts of Manila, even here in Cebu, that I wouldn't go walking around by myself at night. But there are places in Sydney, there are places in Melbourne I wouldn't walk around at night. There's crime everywhere, and I've travelled quite a lot on my own. I know how to take care of myself. I don't go to dodgy places. I don't put myself in risky situations. So, no, I had absolutely no concerns about coming here at all, and I still don't. Nothing bad has ever happened to me here, touch wood.
Amazing. And so just you do IT development within the finance sector, which is, I suppose, you know, the more kind of technical of the more complicated aspects in any business. There's also another impression by people overseas that the Philippines is a bit of a sweatshop, and it, you know, at best you can get a few failed call center agents and VAs, but actually, you know, you are representing the high-end, high-value, high-quality kind of provisions that are available in the Philippines. How do you find that contrast in people's impressions?
Yeah, and I think I think that is an unfortunate perception, but it's also a mechanism that a lot of companies use to sell the concept of outsourcing to a place like the Philippines to their workers. Certainly that's how I've seen it done many times. People, your employees back in Australia or wherever in the world, are nervous about this plan to move some work offshore, and it's sold to them as, hey, look, we're going to get some really cheap resources and they're going to do all the rubbish work that you don't like doing. And that makes the employees a little bit buy into it. Oh, great, I don't have to do weekend work anymore. I don't have to do this boring stuff anymore. But of course, what happens is the company discovers that these lower cost people that they've hired are really dedicated and committed and have their own career aspirations. And there's so much more that can be done than menial, process following type work. As you say, in my business, my background actually isn't IT development, it's more on the infrastructure and engineering side. So when we started providing services to other companies, it was more on the engineering, but we've now gone into solutions architects and other very, very senior people that work, they're every bit as talented and dedicated and technically capable as what you could get back in your own location.
Mm. And I find, you know, because outsourcing started about 20, 25 years ago and it was all call center, but now with 25 years of collective experience, there's so much more depth in terms of roles and the pool of people to choose from. Yeah? Are you seeing in your time here, what is that, almost kind of 8-9 years, that there is an upskilling?
I'm not sure I have, just because right from the get-go I was recruiting very highly skilled people. Right. My whole mission when I first came to the Philippines with Macquarie was to hire IT engineers. So I've never been in the business, either in my corporate life or in my current company in Yempo, never really been in the business of hiring junior workers, call center workers, lower skilled people for lower skilled jobs. So I'd love to say yes, I've definitely seen a massive upskill, but the reality for me is I've always been exposed to a very high level of capability.
Right. And just digging into Macquarie a little bit, that was 2009. My sort of faint recollection of Macquarie, they grew hugely. And then I think in the financial crisis, they actually really got stung bad. And is there any correlation between 2009 and Macquarie really needing to dig deep and find economic solutions to running their business? Was that any correlation to you then building teams out here in the Philippines?
What actually happened? So in the GFC, kind of the first round, which I think was 2000, and in Australia anyway, it hit us in about 2007, 2008. Macquarie didn't actually fare too badly. We were one of the companies that continued to be profitable through that awful downturn.
Because it was known as the millionaire factory, the
exactly. Yep. Wow. It certainly wasn't that while I was there, unfortunately.
Right.
But the entire function that we built offshore was based on business growth. It wasn't about displacing people at all. So when I first moved to Manila, I had zero staff in the engineering space, and within 12 months I'd hired 250 people. That was all funded out of business growth. Nobody lost their job out of that. Of course, around about 2010, 2011, there was another economic downturn, and at that point the company did start downsizing in other locations and expanding in their offshore locations of the Philippines and India. It was a lovely time to be recruiting in a period of such growth, not related to an economic downturn.
Right, interesting. And then now, moving right along, you are sitting in Cebu, you've got Yempo Solutions. We will actually get you back. We're going to dig into Yempo Solutions, and it's not an infomercial, but it's so that, you know, I can give people an insight into what services there are out there. But you have a corporate background, working in the high end of town of sort of highly technical activities. And now you find yourself sitting in Cebu with a BPO. What is it about outsourcing that seems to... people get addicted to outsourcing. You know? It's a bit like crack. Like, as soon as people figure out how amazing it is, like, everyone's suddenly outsourcing. And now... You know, you are owning and running an outsourcing service provider yourself. What is it about outsourcing that attracts people?
Well, it was certainly one of the reasons I jumped ship from corporate life and started doing this was because I saw at Macquarie this wonderful, harmonious business with such harmonious relationships between the Filipino workforce and the offices, that their virtual teammates in Sydney, Melbourne, Hong Kong, New York, London, wherever. We built a really, really great culture, which is something I learned a lot about from Macquarie. And the benefits that Macquarie reaped from having this offshore team were massive. They'd been trying to do a follow-the-sun model for IT support for many years. So what I wanted to do in starting my own business was really expose those same benefits to smaller businesses, not the global banks, not the global insurance companies, not the massive corporations, but the companies that are small businesses or companies that are doing it really hard. They're struggling to compete in a global market, and they just don't know how to get their costs down. They don't know how to survive with all the competition that's out there. So that's what really attracted me, to expose to smaller, perhaps struggling businesses or innovative businesses this whole resourcing strategy that just opened up a whole new global market to them, or opened up a whole new mechanism for them to increase their competitiveness.
Mm. It's amazing. I try, and this is one of the main messages I try and get through to people. It is, outsourcing is transformative. There's probably no other business strategy that is as transformative and offers quite so many strategic opportunities and advantages other than this.
Transformative is exactly the word I was struggling to find, helping businesses to transform everything about themselves by exposing this something that they potentially never thought about, and then introducing them to offshoring and seeing how rapidly they get it, and they build these strong relationships with their offshore teams, and it's a wonderful business to be in.
Fantastic. And so we're going to get you back. We're going to talk about Yempo Solutions. So anyone eager should look out for that episode. But in the meantime, if people want to get in touch with you, Michelle, how can they do that?
Easiest way, my surname's a bit frightfully spelt, so the easiest way is to visit our website at www.yempo-solutions.com. You can find all our contact details there, or email me directly at mf@yemposolutions.com.
Fantastic. I like what you've done, the initials there, to keep it short. all of those details will be in our show notes, so go there if you need more information. 7. If you want to get in touch with Michelle or get any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/87. And if you want to ask us anything, please drop us an email. Just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.